We gather to seek, to find, and to share the promise of honest religion. And so it is a sacred time, this, and a sacred place, this. Vulnerability more powerful than strength. It is a sacred time, this. Let us begin it together in song.
This reading comes from an interview with the 14th Dalai Lama. Recently, I am emphasizing that due to the modern economy, and also due to information and education, the world is now heavily interdependent, interconnected. Under such circumstances, the concept of we and they is gone. Harming your neighbor is actually harming yourself. If you do negative things towards your neighbor, that's actually creating your own suffering. And helping them, showing concern about others' welfare, actually, these are the major factors of your own happiness. If you want a community full of joy, full of friendship, you should create that possibility. If you remain negative and meantime want more smiles and friendship from your neighbors, that's illogical. If you want a more friendly neighbor, you must create the atmosphere. Then they will respond.
Please join me in meditation. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. We join together in meditation and prayer this morning, seeking to realize that the fabric of our lives is woven by our own hands. Every thought, every word, every action is a thread in the social tapestry. So as we weave, let us be mindful that each and every thread is a contribution, our contribution to the whole. Amen. In Aldous Huxley's 1937 work, Ends and Means, he says, "Far from being irrelevant, our metaphysical beliefs are the finally determining factor in our actions." Far from being irrelevant, our beliefs about the ultimate nature of reality are the foundation of our choices about how we live, about how we act, about what means and ends we choose. Far from being irrelevant, our beliefs about the ultimate nature of reality frame our perspective on how we can and do act to create, sustain, and change the physical, social, and spiritual world of which we are all a part. Karma is the concept of action, understood as that which causes the entire cycle of cause and effect. Karma is not about the reincarnation or rebirth of the individual. Karma is not a cosmic scorecard of good and evil deeds. Karma is not a justification or a rationalization for the good or bad things that happen to people. Karma is the concept of action, understood as that which causes the entire cycle of cause and effect. There is a story in the Avatamsaka Sutra that tells of a wonderful net which stretches to infinity in every direction and has, suspended in each eye, a single glittering jewel. And in these infinite jewels is reflected the light of every other jewel. Yu Yus often tell this story as an exemplar of the seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. But I think that the story's central metaphor is commonly misunderstood, with the glittering gems in the net representing individual people. People reflecting each other. People relating to each other. People connecting to each other. This could not be further from the truest meaning of the metaphor. The self is an illusion. The self is not the gem. This is possibly the most difficult and the most often ignored teaching of Buddhism. But it is also the most fundamental and important. The self is an illusion. Let me see if these words from the Dalai Lama can help elucidate this point. All events and incidents in life are so intimately linked with the fate of others that a single person on his or her own cannot even begin to act. Many ordinary activities, both positive and negative, cannot even be conceived of apart from the existence of other people. Even committing harmful actions depends on the existence of others. Because of others, we have the opportunity to earn money if that is what we desire in life. Similarly, in reliance upon the existence of others, it becomes possible for the media to create fame or disrepute for someone. On your own, you cannot create any fame or disrepute, no matter how loud you might shout. The closest you can get is to create an echo of your own voice. The glittering gem in the net is action. The unit of karma is action. The basis of interdependence and the cause of the entire cycle of cause and effect is action. The chain of causality, or more accurately, the interconnected web of causality, is not made up only of the actions of people, or only of the actions of animate beings. It is made up of all actions of existence. It does not stop for time. It does not stop at your comfort zone. It does not stop at the boundary of your skin or at the edge of your thoughts. Each gem in the net is an action, and in each and every action is reflected every other action that has happened, is happening, and will happen. To continue in the words of the Dalai Lama, thus, interdependence is a fundamental law of nature. Not only higher forms of life, but also many of the smallest insects are social beings who, without any religion, law, or education, survive by mutual cooperation based on an innate recognition of their interconnectedness. The most subtle level of material phenomena is also governed by interdependence. All phenomena, from the planet we inhabit to the oceans, clouds, forests, and flowers that surround us, arise in dependence upon subtle patterns of energy. Without their proper interaction, they dissolve and decay. This is the religious root of karma, understanding the proper interaction of things, understanding the proper interactions of action, more specifically, understanding the proper interactions of human action. There are four laws of karma. The first law is that the results are similar to the cause. Karma and its results are certain and unfailing. Positive actions of body, speech, and mind will always bring about the positive result of some form of happiness or benefit. Negative actions of body, speech, and mind will always bring the negative result of some form of suffering. Karma and its results are exactly like a seed and its fruit. This first rule is often compared with Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Don't be fooled. You can't outsmart God. A man gathers a crop from what he plants. Some people plant to please their sinful nature. From that nature they will harvest death. Others plant to please the Holy Spirit. From the Spirit they will harvest eternal life. There's a famous photograph from the 60s with a woman holding a protest sign that says, "Bombing for peace is like fornicating for virginity." Okay, the sign doesn't say fornicating. But the idea is the same. It's the same as the first law of karma. It's the same as the idea expressed in Galatians. It's the same as the core idea found in every major religion. You will reap what you sow. You will reap only what you sow. You will reap exactly what you sow. The second law of karma is that there are no results without cause. Actions not carried out will not bring results. Things do not just appear out of nothing. If the cause has not been created, the effect will not be experienced. Nothing is self-manifesting. Nothing is exempt from the web of cause and effect. The third law of karma is once an action is done, the result is never lost. Once the stone has been dropped in the lake, once it sinks to the bottom, once the ripples spread, the lake can never be the same again. Once we have weaved a thread into the tapestry, it cannot be removed. Once the gem is reflected in the net, its image shall never be erased. The fourth law of karma is this: karma expands. Karma is organic. It is related to the nature of life. As in our prayer today, one way in which karma expands is that actions lead to the formation of habits. So within one's own life, each action sets a precedent for future action. An old Cherokee was teaching his young grandson one of life's most important lessons. He told the young boy the following parable. "There is a fight going on inside each of us. It is a terrible fight between two wolves," he said. "One wolf is evil. He is anger, rage, envy, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, resentment, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The second wolf is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, empathy, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought about this for a moment. Then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win this fight?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." This is the fourth law of karma. Each action in your life feeds one of the wolves. Your ignorance about which wolf is getting fed does not change it. Your illusions about which wolf is getting fed does not change it. Like muscle memory, the act of feeding one wolf more often than the other one becomes habit. Do you think that your life is kept more interesting by tossing the bad wolf a bone on occasion? Do you think that every bone has to be intentional? As we grow older, we throw more and more bones out of habit. Yet the results of these actions stand. There are good reasons that we form habits. There is a cognitive need for us to simplify the routines of our lives into repeated and comfortable habits. And I don't think that habits are bad things to have. But we must recognize that the bulk of our contributions to the world, the bulk of the threads that we each contribute to the social tapestry, are woven out of habit. One of the common religious prescriptions for this problem is to cultivate mindfulness. I don't think that mindfulness means not developing habits. It doesn't mean that we develop some sort of hypervigilance. What it means is that we reflect upon, own, and take responsibility for all of our actions, especially our habits. It means that we apply ourselves to the difficult religious task of continuing to tear down the veils of ignorance and illusion that separate us from the true nature of reality. It means that we recognize that while karma relates to our intentions, our intention to do good and our intention to do evil, the fact of karma, the fact of causality, is not altered. We can do evil and believe that we are doing good, if we are not in right and honest relationship with the universe and with each other. We can feed the evil wolf over and over again, shoveling food into his mouth at an ever more fevered pitch because we believe that we are acting rightly and we cannot comprehend why our righteous action continues to bear evil fruit. You can choose to be right, or you can choose to be peaceful. You cannot choose both simultaneously. You cannot feed the evil wolf and the good wolf the same morsel, nor can you weave the dark thread and the light thread with the same motion of the loom. We have spoken a lot about karma this morning, but it is time for us to consider what it means to us when we are making decisions, making plans, and choosing courses of action in our lives. When we talk about means and ends, our means are simply our actions. They are the strategically selected thoughts, words, actions, and habits that we carry out in our pursuit of some ends. The means that we choose will create the ends which are their natural, logical, and karmic conclusion. What about ends? You may choose any end, but you must realize that ends only become realized by walking the path that leads to them. And that path is made up of the stepping stones of each and every means that is employed in their achievement. Far from being irrelevant, laws of cause and effect are in operation. Far from being irrelevant, these laws apply standards of good and evil to the actions of humanity. Far from being irrelevant, these laws of karma govern our capacity to use means to realize ends. No, you cannot bomb your way to peace or fornicate your way to virginity. You cannot reap that which you did not sow. You cannot make a reality out of wishful thinking. But you can create heaven on earth by learning and acting on the truth. You can change the world with your love. You can create the life that you want, one action at a time. Please join me in the responsive benediction. We leave this sacred time together. Our world needs us and the spirit we carry forth.
Blessed be the life, the truth, and the healing that we seek.
Amen.